We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
One question, do I feel lucky?
Trolling, trolling, polling. Keep those hot takes flowing. Never really knowing which way the wind is blowing. He's trolling, trolling, polling. Trolling, trolling, polling.
Go ahead. Make my day.
It's time now for...
They call you Trollin' Volin? You look like it.
Trollin' Volin.
Who the hell is Ben Volin anyway?
I don't know what to tell you, buddy.
It's the Ben Volin Football Hour.
Herp derp, like I get it.
On WEEI.
Pretty soon will be the most anticipated hour of radio in New England every week. The Ben Volin Football Hour. Last week, this spotlight, Ben, rocketed you to stardom. When you set the dialogue for the entire city for the week?
I'd say for the entire nation, really. I mean, yep. ESPN owes me a debt of gratitude for setting their agenda for the last week. And I mean, noon on a Saturday, that's the prime radio hour. That's when everyone's listening. So yep. This is, you know, prime time stuff you're getting.
It actually is.
Can I hate to correct you, but the most listened to hour of radio is when we have Whittier Tech football players call into the Greg Hill Show.
Right. Well, that's an hour every day.
Right.
5 days a week. We had an interesting week on the Greg Hill Show, but Ben was on Monday.
Are they the rivals of Bentley? Is that what's going on?
I have no idea, but there's this guy named Mac who's probably 42, not in high school, and he like has these random stories to tell us about Whittier Tech football every week.
Between that and Nips Talk, that covered the whole week. But beside that, one thing that happened on the show this week, I looked over to Curtis's screen when he was producing, and he's watching these workout videos, and I'm like, what is Curtis looking at? I was like, this has gotten really creepy. But it was actually Cam Newton's workout videos that he had posted on IG, so I felt better about that. At least Curtis is doing some work. And then Curtis is going off about Newton, like, you know, you're starting to get triggered by Newton, like Tiger-level triggered.
Well, the guy obviously feels that there's not a lot of interest in him. So that's why he goes on the Brandon Marshall podcast. That's why he's doing these, like, daily videos. And he has, like, a team of seven videographers and photographers taking pictures of him working out constantly. And it's like, no thank you. We do not need any more Cam Newton in our life. He's a great interview, good guy, wears a lot of hats. No thank you. We're all done. And the fact that he's needing this entire, like, Hollywood production to tell people that he's ready to play, like, he's not throwing passes. If he was throwing passes and they were landing at people's hands, not at their feet, maybe those would be good videos to be posting. But the fact that you're working out is not interesting to anybody.
Well, if it was a national working out football league, then he'd be, you know, a first-round pick again.
Yep.
But I agree. You can kind of smell the desperation a little bit with the videos. And he's trying to drum up some interest. I don't know if there's going to be any real team outside of the Patriots that's going to show some real interest in him.
Ernie Adams was watching it too, which was kind of weird.
He was evaluating it. Yeah. He was marking it down. I was looking at the Pro Football References predictions for free agency, and they had an interesting landing spot for Cam. First of all, they had my prediction. They had Ryan Fitzpatrick coming here, bringing the Fitzmagic show to New England, which I think does make a lot of sense. But then they had Cam Newton going to Cincinnati to be Joe Burrow's backup, which I actually kind of like that for Cam, because Joe Burrow's coming back from a bad torn ACL. Who knows if he's going to be ready week one. So you go to Cincinnati, you might be able to play a little bit. You know, if Cam's willing to, you know,
his best option is the Bengals.
Well, yeah. I mean, if he's willing to put his, his ego behind him a little bit and bite his, swallow his pride a little bit, you know, and be a backup quarterback, then there probably will be some spots for him. But, you know, there are guys like Cam Newton. They've made so much money. They've always been the alpha. They've always been the man. You know, when it comes down to, do you want to accept $2 million to go be a backup? I just don't know if that's where Cam Newton is right now. So,
he wasn't there on that podcast because he told, I believe it was Brandon Marshall, that he is one of the top 32 quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, he said, there's no way there's 32 better than me. And I think, I get you want to have confidence in yourself, but it might be bordering on delusion a little bit too. I think when you factor in the rookies, they're definitely... Are 32 quarterbacks in the NFL better than Cam Newton?
Well, what's the latest on Newton and the Pats? Because he said in those videos, he made it seem like he's talking to the Pats and it's a sort of a done deal. I mean, they were all laughing and chuckling at have you talked to New England? He said...
See, I didn't take that as done deal. No, I took it as he doesn't want to talk about it because it might be embarrassing because he's not having any discussions with the Patriots or they're not going the way that he thought they would. He's not getting the money.
Even with your sources telling you Bill likes him?
Yeah, I don't know, my sources said that Bill really genuinely did like him, but my sources also said that Bill understands that he doesn't have a great throwing arm at this point, so I don't know
no
big deal. He just, is a quarterback who can't throw. So I don't know if he's coming back, but I do know that Bill liked him, and so I think that increases the chances of him coming back. I think it's just going to be, another matter of who's willing to take the Patriots' cheap contract, which Cam Newton was the winner of that contest last year. He was willing to take the minimum contract with the incentives. And, everyone I talk to just doesn't expect the Patriots to spend money again on quarterback. And when you look at the guys available, I do kind of get that. Like, why spend money on Mariota if you're not going to get good quarterback
play? Ken was lecturing me, though, that Field Yates said that they were ready to spend and they had a stack of cash. So
that was the report.
They do have a stack of cash. I just don't think it's going to be on a quarterback.
What's their plan? What is their quarterback plan? Let's go inside Foxborough with Ben Volen. What is happening there?
I think, again, their plan is they're going to find the veteran who's willing to take the cheap contract, and then they're going to draft someone, I think, in the second or third round. I don't think they're going to use number 15 on a quarterback.
How is that aggressive?
Well, I think it's... I think the reports out there that the Patriots are going to be aggressive. I think that's, who knows? That's just either someone with the Patriots planting something or
they
could be aggressive in free agency if they go out and sign some offensive linemen and some pass rush help and get a receiver. You could be aggressive at other areas. I just don't think there are many there are no moves to be made at quarterback except for trading for Watson or trading for Russell Wilson. And, that's not going to happen this year. And so why would you overspend on a mediocre quarterback? If you're going to spend money on good football players, I just don't see too many quarterbacks out there that are going to be worth that money.
But, what is the purpose behind the Patriots planting these stories? If they are indeed going to be drafting a quarterback in the second round, doing things as they have done them in the past, why now are they releasing these tidbits to Field Yates, Tommy Curran, Mike Reese, etc., that they're going to be this, like, cowboy-esque approach to the offseason? Why do they do that?
I don't know. I don't know who their sources are. I don't know where it's coming from.
Obviously, it's coming from the Patriots.
Well, yeah, but there's different levels. I mean, the Patriots have a very tight inner circle. It's like Belichick and Ernie Adams and Bergerian, and it used to be Nick Casario. Like, and then, you have peripheral guys who are probably, they're sources, but they're probably guessing at the end of the day. Like, yeah, I think we're going to be aggressive. So all I know from covering the Patriots is that they keep a very tight inner circle, and the people that actually know what's going on, there's only a couple of them inside the building. So I don't know if they're the ones who are planting these stories, or I don't know what the sources are, but not everyone in the building fully understands or fully has a grasp of what the plan is going to be. Belichick keeps his own people in the dark for just this reason. He doesn't want things leaking out.
But the genius moment for Belichick is still there. It's Jimmy G. If the dominoes fall, where the Niners get another guy, Kirk Cousins or Bridgewater or Deshaun Watson, Jimmy G comes to Foxborough, and that changes everything.
I would agree. Garoppolo, I think, has to be the number one guy on their list. Teddy Bridgewater is not going to be the guy that shakes Garoppolo free from San Francisco. It would have to be a clear upgrade, like a Deshaun Watson, or who was the other guy?
Cousins. I mean, I think he likes Cousins.
Well, Shanahan does like Cousins. I don't think Cousins going anywhere. The Vikings seem to be pretty happy with him. They've given him all kinds of guaranteed money. So I think
what
that's probably
Matt
wishful.
Ryan? Is there any shot of that?
I don't think so either. Just because, well, the only chance is if the Falcons trade him away after June 1st. If you look at the cap, Ryan has a ridiculous cap number now of about $41 million. If they release him now, it's $49 million. If they trade him now, it's $44 million. But if they wait until after June 1st, then it would make some cap sense. So Matt Ryan after June 1st is the only hope for the 49ers. But again,
and there's a way, though, that the coaches would talk in that scenario, the GMs. Wouldn't you say it's possible Lynch and Belichick would come to an agreement, hey, this is going to happen after June 1st. We're going after Matt Ryan. We need to unload Jimmy G at that time. Can you wait, and are you don't you think there'd be some communication there, and Bill would be willing to wait that long?
Yeah, I think so, especially, well, if the Falcons are going to make this trade, but it's like we're going to wait until after June, you would think it would come out and everyone's going to know what the deal is.
It would be reported.
Okay. Yeah, it'll be reported. You would think it would be reported, and then they're just, you know, procedurally they'll wait until June 2nd to make the trade. So, yeah, I mean, that is, I think, a possible scenario. And because there's not an off-season program, I think it becomes more possible. You know, you don't have to worry about, well, we're not going to have our quarterback for OTAs and all this stuff, because there probably aren't going to be OTAs this year. So, yeah, in theory, Matt Ryan, I guess, could be traded from the Falcons after June 1st. But I don't know. It would also be dependent on the Falcons, who have the fourth pick. So they would have to also draft someone. You know, that's going to set the wheels in motion.
But
so,
that's a frequent mock draft quarterback selection at four. Even if Matt Ryan stays, don't you guys see most pundits saying Atlanta? Well, Atlanta's going to take the Fields or Trey Lance.
I don't think Atlanta is drafting a quarterback that high unless they're moving on from Matt Ryan. Just because if you draft a quarterback fourth overall, everyone's clamoring for him to play week one. Matt Ryan is a dead quarterback walking at this point, and it's like, why even have him there? And as soon as Matt Ryan throws a pick, everyone in town is going to be screaming, let's play the rookie.
And they lose all leverage if they don't have a deal in place. If they draft someone with the fourth overall pick, the 49ers are going to be like, well, you need to get rid of Matt.
Absolutely.
We'll wait you out.
Absolutely. And it would still be a significant salary cap. You know, while it would make sense this year, leave him with a huge dead money hit for next year. So I think Matt Ryan is staying in Atlanta. But back to your original point, yes, Jimmy Garoppolo is the genius move. If they can get him back, that would be fantastic. I know he's got a shaky injury history, but, you know, the one thing we don't talk about, not only did this guy take the Niners to the Super Bowl in his 1 year, it was his first year coming back from an ACL. I mean, even Tom Brady didn't do that. That's not an insignificant accomplishment for Garoppolo to go 13-3 his first year back from an ACL. So, yes, if Belichick can somehow get him to shake free from the Niners, that's your answer. But other than him, there's no other real answers out there. You're looking about paying, you know, $7 million for Cam Newton or $10 million for Fitzpatrick. And so they could be aggressive in other areas. They can beef up their pass rush. They can buy a wide receiver. But other than Garoppolo, I don't see how they're going to be aggressive at quarterback this year.
How can they, in hindsight, look back at what they did and not regret it? I mean, it is the most important position in any sport of all time.
Yeah, they had, in 2016, they had Brady, Garoppolo, Brissett. I don't know if many teams have had a better depth chart in the last decade than what the Patriots had there. So they have to regret it. And what's most head-scratching is, okay, you had to trade Garoppolo, you had to hold your nose and you know, give him away to San Francisco, but then you didn't draft another one that year. And then, okay, Brady, it was time to move on, this and that. You let him go. You didn't draft one again. It's like, not only, you know, it'd be one thing if they tried and failed, but Belichick just hasn't tried. That's what's most baffling about the whole quarterback.
Is that
thing.
like a protest?
I don't know. Maybe they just...
Well, he is stubborn. We can agree on that.
He's very stubborn, and maybe he just didn't like the prospects that year. I don't know, but they went from having the most assets to the worst assets, and they just gave them all away and got nothing returned.
They took an effing kicker in the fifth round.
And he might not kick a game for them.
We'll never play in the NFL.
Possibly.
Three quarterbacks.
I give him a 3% chance of kicking in the NFL.
Okay.
Three lower-level
very proud
quarterbacks. I want your take on, Ben, that surfaced this week. First of all, Alex Smith, officially released by Washington. Any chance Belichick is intrigued by Alex Smith over your plan, Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, I mean, I would not take Alex Smith over Fitzpatrick or Cam Newton even. Alex Smith is playing on one leg at this point. I mean, it
took them to a playoff appearance last year.
Yeah, their defense took them to a playoff appearance. Alex Smith's numbers were not that great. I think his passer rating was somewhere in the 75 range. He's okay, but, you know, guy with one leg, doesn't have a whole lot of movement left. And I think he wants to play. I mean, I think that's why.
Would you rather have a quarterback with one leg or with one arm?
I'd rather have a quarterback with one arm, because Cam can still do some things with his legs. He can still create plays, and yeah, he doesn't have the zip on the ball, but if you can scheme receivers open, Cam can still deliver the football. So I would rather have Cam Newton than Alex Smith. I think Alex Smith, maybe the Bears, maybe the Jaguars, you know, they're going to be, the Broncos will probably be looking for a better backup. But I wouldn't want him to be the starter here in New England. I don't think he has anything left.
I'm not sure if this started with Tangway last Sunday, but Gardner Minshew got a lot of talk this week, maybe just because talk radio is desperate. He's not necessarily available, but I guess he could be. Obviously, the Jags are going to take Trevor Lawrence, everybody assumes. What would it take to get him? And by the poll we did on the morning show, Curtis, he was like the favorite. Patriots fans preferred him over all the other options.
Yes.
I mean, Minshew's intriguing just because he's young and he's got 20 starts under his belt, and you can't fake that experience. The way I look at it is, and Minshew's a name that has come up a lot, you know, that I've seen in the last couple of weeks, but if you're the Jaguars, why would you give up a young, productive backup who's going to cost you the minimum for the next 2 years? He's under team control for league minimum for 2 years. Trevor Lawrence might be a tremendous prospect, but you know, quarterbacks, young quarterbacks get hurt all the time as they learn to play the position.
Yeah, but if you're going to start over with Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence is going to be your guy and he's going to play year one, we assume.
Yeah, but you still need a good backup, and you've got a young, good, cheap one. And
you do everything to make sure Lawrence succeeds, and that means anything you can get to surround him with talent, you do. And so you trade Minshew for a higher pick.
Well, what do you think Minshew's going to get you? I mean, if we're talking a fourth-round pick, like that's a special. You think so?
Well, I think so.
But he's still a backup quarterback. I don't think any team, if the Jaguars don't view him as a starter, I don't think any other team's going to view him as a starter.
I don't think there's any shot that Urban Meyer wants any part of Minshew mania while he's down there. I think he wants this to be Trevor Lawrence's team. He doesn't want to have a guy who Trevor has a couple bad games, like all NFL rookies do.
No one in Jacksonville is going to be clamoring for Minshew to play over Trevor
Lawrence. Have you walked around Jacksonville?
I've lived there. I lived in Jacksonville for a spell. Great mustache town.
Right, that's my point.
Yeah, but no, Trevor Lawrence is the present. He's the future. He's, you know, the next Andrew Luck. He's the surest thing prospect, supposedly, in several years. No one's going to be clamoring for Minshew to play over Trevor Lawrence. I promise you that.
When I was here, Drew Bledsoe was the number one overall pick, just like Trevor Lawrence, and people wanted Michael Bishop. So it happens everywhere.
Right, but that wasn't in Bledsoe's rookie year either.
That's true.
But, yeah, I don't understand. I just don't see why the Jaguars would ever give – you know, teams are searching for good backups all the time. Like, if Trevor Lawrence has a minor ankle sprain and has to miss two games, wouldn't you rather have a guy who's got 20 starts under his belt and has shown that he can play the position? And oh, by the way, he's under contract for 2 years at league minimum. If I'm the Jaguars, that's a valuable commodity. I wouldn't give that up.
Third quarterback that's got some attention lately is Jameis Winston. ESPN's Seth Galina writes, with Jameis Winston, Bill Belichick might believe he could be the one who makes him a real NFL quarterback. The tools are there. He finished fourth in big-time throws in 2019 with 31, also led the league in turnover-worthy plays, but somebody is going to pay big money to try and fix this man.
Yeah, I don't know about big money. That seems a bit aggressive. I got another little Ben Volen Football Hour scoop for you here. I heard from a good source this week that Winston, he's got a little bit more of a robust market than you'd think. I mean, he's another guy that signed for the league minimum last year. I heard that him and the Saints are talking, but he turned down a contract offer from the Saints. It's going to pay him like $3 or $4 million, somewhere in that range. So, you know, maybe Winston thinks he's a $5 to $7 million quarterback, but that's not big money. And it's going to be heavy on incentives, you know, wherever he does sign. And I think he's going back to the Saints. I think the Saints view him as a potential answer this year between him and Taysom Hill. I think that's probably where the Saints are going to go. So no one's paying big money for Winston. And I don't see him as a fit for the Patriots because he does the one thing that Belichick hates, and that's throw interceptions. I mean, 30 interceptions, sloppy with the football, careless mistakes.
But if you change him, then you look like a genius.
How are you gonna fix this guy with no offseason program? He comes to your team and you get 5 weeks of training camp. Then
no
you throw
offseason
him in the
program. Fauci didn't say that yet. Fauci said later this week we'll find out what people can do.
And you have to think Winston has a slight possibility because Fourier is plugged in and he has been on the Jameis bandwagon for like months now.
True.
And he predicted that Brady was going to Tampa before anybody else. So he's been connected.
That would be an interesting sell, Jameis Winston as a Patriots quarterback. How would the fans react to that?
I mean, it's kind of Cam Newton part two, like another outsider who comes in and, you know, he's got some talent. He's kind of intriguing. And let's see what Belichick and McDaniels can do. Can they coach him up? So
another first overall pick.
Yep. Just like Cam. So Jameis clearly has talent, but I mean, I can't get over the 30 interceptions, and the Bucs clearly couldn't either. I mean, Bruce Arians couldn't contain how frustrated he was with Jameis Winston and those interceptions last year. And
I can't wait to see Bill eat a W.
You know, he's young, and if he's cheap, yeah, you know, he's got a very strong arm and a pocket passer and all that stuff. But
how hard will Brady be laughing in Tampa if Belichick signs Jameis Winston?
Well, he'd be laughing at first, but not if not if Belichick works his magic and brings him in. And
there we go.
You know, Jameis becomes
the
franchise. You know,
oh,
why not?
What a knife in the back of.
And they want to eat a W tonight.
And they steal Chris Godwin away from Brady too. You know.
What about Belichick? Where is he? Where is Belichick? Where is Kraft? Curtis is very concerned that the Pats have taken to PR spin, as he describes it, through their media wings, talking about how aggressive they're going to be spending money. All this chatter we've heard through the media this last 2 weeks. Where are they? Why aren't they talking?
That's a great question. They've been hiding from the public and hiding from accountability. And I've requested from the Patriots, can we talk to Belichick? Can we talk to Kraft? And with Belichick, I was met with, well, he never talks this time of year, so you're not going to get him. It's true that, you know, 29, 30 teams at the combine always do press conferences with their coach and GM, but not the Patriots because they're better than everyone else and they don't have to. So Belichick's not going to talk. And then I said, okay, well, what about Kraft? We haven't heard from him in a long time. And I was met with, well, isn't that why do you want to talk to him about the football team? I was like, I don't know, because he's the owner and he signs the checks.
They said that? Yeah. Why do you want to talk to him about the football team?
Wouldn't you want to talk to the football people about what's going on? I said, yeah, but, I mean, he's the first guy on the podium to hold up the Lombardi trophy when they win Super Bowls. I would love to hear from Kraft. So, you know, they're ducking accountability.
Wait, I thought he told everyone that he runs all his businesses the way he runs the Patriots.
I'm sure, you know. But oh, and I was also told, well, he did he did CBS this morning, the day of the Super Bowl. Like, that's supposed to count as a, you know.
Well, he didn't actually.
Did it not actually air?
Never aired.
Really? On the national, it never aired?
Nope.
That's weird. Wonder why. That's kind of strange.
It's very odd. We have audio, and I don't think any other shows even. It was sort of hidden on the Boston CBS local website, and there was a tweet with a 30-second teaser that we played, and he says he's rooting for Tom and whatever, and they said, hear the rest of the interview on Sunday morning, CBS Sunday morning. Never aired.
Even if they did a Zoom call, this was Curtis's idea, where Stacey James handpicked who they took questions from. Like, you'd get passed over. But even if they did it tactically, where they took 10 questions from people they trust, that would be a PR win. It's amazing they haven't even tried that.
Yeah, they're really, I think, ducking accountability here. And, you know, the Patriots want to act like, oh, it's just business as usual, and why would you want to hear from the owner? I don't know, because it's been a year since Tom Brady left. And,
well, and also,
how do you feel about the direction of the team?
He's never spoken at this time. It's not an answer as to why he can't.
Exactly. You're exactly right. And same with Belichick.
When are the owners' meetings? He usually talks there, right?
You're right. That's the other point I was going to make. End of March is when the owners' meetings are, and it's going to be virtual again this year. So he always holds court at the owners' meetings and answers questions about Darrelle Revis and Tom Brady and this and that. So absolutely, I want to hear from Robert Kraft. You know, I saw Peter King did a podcast. I think he did the Ross Tucker podcast the other day, and he was saying, well, the Brady decision is clearly all Belichick, and Kraft had nothing to do with it. And it's like, I don't understand that line of thinking at all. The owner absolutely should, you know, is part of the decision making. Even if he said, Bill, this is your call, I'm going to stand by you, that's still Kraft, you know, backing the coach more or less. And I would love to hear from the owner, you know, how he feels about the direction of the team and where things have gone and how Brady's doing in Tampa and why the Patriots don't have an answer at quarterback. But
that is
the Patriots do not want to answer questions about it.
How can you be there, front row center, never seeing a camera you didn't love when this thing was going great for two decades? Your head coach and GM made a decision that the team is better off in the long haul without Brady, and you sided with the guy that's going to be here longer. I think I disagree, obviously, with it, but I understand the logic behind it. Just say that and stand up for yourself instead of leaking things to Stephen A. Smith and Field Yates and Tom Curran and Mike Reese and whoever else. Like, it's people here love Bob Kraft. They will forever. He does amazing work, life-changing work in hospitals around here. People just want some answers about the football team, and if your head coach and GM doesn't want to do it, you or your son should. Like, it's not that hard, especially with Zoom, where you can control the entire environment. You can say, okay, we're done, or this is your turn. It's going to go Alan Siegel, Bob Soucy, Alan Siegel, Bob Soucy, and then you say goodbye.
Coming up on the Ben Volen Football Hour, free agency right around the corner, week and a half, Ben. What do the Pats do? I want some names. Who might get cut? Kyle Van Noy suddenly shaking free. Does he come back? Kyle Rudolph, a couple interesting names popped up this week, so we'll get to that on the way. First, we have some trending news.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back to the Ben Volen Football Hour on EEI.
All right, just over a week away from NFL free agency. Tampering begins on the 15th. That's a week from Monday. And then 17th, officially, guys can sign places. So news is coming quick. Ben Volen here for his show.
Yeah, for the record, tampering began about 2 weeks ago. So yeah. It's been going on for a while now.
Probably true. We've had a couple contracts. I mean, the J.J. Watt, at first he signed it. I'm like, can they even do that? Because it's before free agency, but I guess he's agreed to terms. He's a street guy.
So you're seeing that now, that a lot of veterans, the veterans that teams actually care about and appreciate, they let them go now so that they can get a head start on free agency and actually find a job. Because, you know, if you're not cut loose until the 17th or the 18th when it starts, I mean, you're screwed. The jobs are all taken up, and you have to wait till May or June and take a, you know, like Cam Newton last year. So the Texans at least did J.J. Watt a favor. And I don't know, were you guys surprised by the Cardinals? I know people were saying they're, you know, that's an interesting choice, but I think you pair him with Chandler Jones. You got an ascending quarterback with Kyler Murray. I like the move for them, and I like it for him too.
I thought he might go to the Bills, which would be a big deal around here. So Pats fans should be happy about that. He's out of sight, out of mind.
The biggest shock for me was the Van Noy release by the Dolphins. So what have you heard about that? Is that something Bill is, did they leave on good terms? Is this something that you think the team would bring him back?
Yeah, I think they left on good terms, and I think the Patriots would bring him back, but I think there are caveats as always. First of all, watch your back around Brian Flores. My goodness. He brings Chad O'Shea down from New England, cans him after a year. Brings Kyle Van Noy down from New England, cans him after a year. He's now on his third offensive coordinator in 3 years. Like, just a lot of moving parts with
good point.
Dolphins there.
Yeah.
So watch your back around Brian Flores. I think the Patriots would bring Van Noy back for the right price. I think Van Noy, you know, the Dolphins haven't released him yet because they think they still might be able to trade him. I don't know how many teams are going to be willing to take on a guy in his $12.5 million salary, but he could probably on the open market still get $8, $9, $10 million. And I don't know, from where the Patriots are at right now, I don't want free agents over 30. I want them to go young. I want, you know, youth and speed and athleticism. I mean, yeah, Van Noy could be a great leader in the locker room, but to me, that's why you already have McCourty and Hightower and maybe Julian Edelman. So I'm a no on Van Noy just because I don't see the point. I see him as a progress stopper. I'd rather them get young, and, you know, if they're going to sign free agents, I want them to be the 26-year-old free agents, not the 30-year-old guys.
Well, there was a report about Matt Milano, right? The 27-year-old that the Bills are going to really not bring back. That's a big signing.
BC nice kid, right?
Yep.
That's your boy.
Yeah.
Would you pay him $12 to $14 million a year? That's the
no, rate. I probably wouldn't pay him that much. But
he's a Jesuit. He'll sign for 10.
you have to be wary. You know, like, I remember, like, when they had Brandon Cooks and his fifth-year option was going to be, like, $8.9 million. And you look at it, wow, 1,000-yard receiver, $8.9 million, that's not that expensive. But in the context of the Patriots, it would have made him the highest-paid receiver, and it would have put him ahead of Edelman. And so, like, if you're the Patriots, you don't upset your locker room like that. I don't know if you want to bring in a guy like Milano and make him higher-paid than Dante Hightower, make this free agent who hasn't been the Patriot way, make him the highest-paid guy.
My assumption would be Hightower would be cut before that. Is that a possibility? Could you see?
I mean, it's definitely a possibility. Hightower's contract works against him. You know, he's got a huge 12-point-something cap number, and they could save about $10 million of it if they release him. He's only got like $2 million of dead money. and a 31-year-old linebacker who's got injury history and took a year off. I mean, I think we're expecting a lot to just assume that he's going to come back and be the same player. That said, I think he's a valuable leader in your locker room, and you have $62 million in cap space, so you can afford a guy like Hightower for one more year. So I would keep him just because of what he brings to your locker room. But yeah, if you decide to move on, then sure, bring Matt Milano in and make him your highest paid guy. But you know, then I guess there's no other veterans on your team, so you're not really upsetting the balance of the locker room there. But I would be wary if you're going to keep Hightower. I would be wary about bringing another linebacker in and making him the highest paid guy.
But if you're going to go young, as you say, which I think is totally reasonable, then isn't Edelman on the chopping block? Isn't Chung on the chopping block? Maybe Cannon, I guess he's not that old, but I don't know. Of all these guys that are opting back in, maybe Bill doesn't want them.
If you read the Boston Globe, I broke all this down in Friday's newspaper. I'm sure you read it. Every word there.
Circulation up.
doing very well at bostonglobe.com. Cannon is the guy who I think is very much in trouble. He's 33, so he's not a spring chicken by any stretch.
Is he really? Wow.
Yeah, Cannon's older. I mean, he was a 2011 draft pick, so he's not young by any stretch, and he's a guy, his contract, he's got like a $7-something million cap hit, and they can save most of it if they release him. Mike Onwenu, I think I'm saying that right. He played so well last year that I don't think there's much of a need for Marcus Cannon. As for Julian Edelman, yeah, he's 35 and he's taken a lot of hits. He's so cheap that if his knee can hold up, like, why not bring him back? You still need leaders in your locker room, and he'd be a great example. He's one of your hardest workers. He can, you know, show the new guys.
He's wearing a Bucks jersey.
I mean, he definitely has FOMO, and you can definitely tell he wishes he was in Tampa Bay. But to me, with Edelman, it's all about his knee and his body. And if he can play, I think you keep him because he's only like $6 million cap. He's only $4 million cash. That's so cheap.
And if he goes to the offseason and he doesn't jump on a Mercedes-Benz, that'll be a good thing.
And who's the other guy you mentioned?
Well, how about the linemen, Tooney and Andrews?
Tooney, I think, is gone. He's going to be really expensive. You know, if the Patriots want to franchise tag him again, it's going to be over $17 million, which is just insane. I mean, I thought,
but he is damn good.
He's a good player, and he's very durable. He's very durable, barely misses a snap. Very good player. I just think when you look at the offers, he's going to be getting $15-16 million per year on the open market for a guard. I mean, no one's ever a guard away from winning a Super Bowl. You can replace a guard.
You mean it's dumb to pay your quarterback $2 million and your guard $17?
I don't know if it's dumb, but it's maybe not the best use of your assets, certainly.
It's pretty stupid. But also, one note about the progress stopper that you were talking about that Van Noy may be. How big of a concern is it, or should it be to Patriots fans, that you have, I believe, two coaches remaining from that Super Bowl coaching staff of 2018?
Yeah, I mean, it's the important ones. It's Belichick and Josh McDaniels. And the Belichick kids were there, too, so that those guys count.
Was Brian on the staff?
Yeah, he was like, assistant, you know, grunt, you know, doing special teams breakdowns.
And Steven's godmother is going to be on the staff this year.
There is a lot of nepotism with the Patriots, and if it's not, you know, just the Belichicks, it's also probably have a kid named Lombardi on the staff or... You know, I mean, but there's a lot of that around the league. I mean, Pete Carroll's kids are on his staff, and it's always fun.
Worked out well in Kansas City.
Oh, geez, don't even get me started. That poor girl's going to have brain damage, supposedly, you know, permanent. So
awful.
I hope they throw the book at Britt Reed and, you know, throw him away and lock up the key. But
that should be my new Twitter account, Bernie Adams.
You got to come up with John Jastrzemski's son for the equipment nepotism.
I mean, it's unfortunate they've had a lot of turnover, and I mean Nick Caserio too. That's a big one. So it was good that they kept Dave Ziegler and promoted him. And
who's Dave Ziegler? I've never heard about this guy in my life.
Oh, he's a big debut on Pats.com.
Another John Carroll guy. More nepotism there. Oh, you know, geez. They love the John Carroll program. He was like an Edelman type in college, a scrappy, you know, slot receiver, punt returner. He's really good at this.
Is Bob Easterby going to be on the staff too, or no?
Let's get to your Ravens rule change.
Mac Easterby.
I know you want to talk about this. We've pushed it off 40 minutes. Ravens to propose revolutionary spot and choose overtime procedure, which Florio says Belichick endorses, favors.
So there's two. The Ravens have two versions of this rule. One of them is for like a sudden death overtime, and the other is just let them play 10 minutes, and whoever's, you know, winning after 10 minutes wins. And Apparently, Belichick, according to Florio, Belichick's in favor of the, you know, just play 10-minute overtime. And neither of those proposals are going to pass. Spot and choose, I mean, sounds so gimmicky. And the NFL does not do gimmicks. These owners are very stodgy, and they don't like change. And instead of a coin toss, you know, one team gets to choose where the ball, the starting point's going to be, and then the other team gets to choose whether they're on offense and defense. And I'm sorry, it's too gimmicky. The 10-minute proposal is never going to pass because the NFL, they're all about health and safety. They're trying to reduce overtime. They believe that with the fatigue of overtime, it leads to increased risk of injury. So they're doing everything they can to minimize overtime. They cut it from 15 to 10 minutes. They're not going to just let, you know, overtime be an automatic 10-minute period.
But what about the college overtime? Why can't they do that?
I'd be okay with that, kind of a shootout style.
Right. 25, that'd be good for daily fantasy. I'm sure the league likes that.
Yeah, I mean, instead of starting on, like, the 25, I think you could start on your own 40-yard line or, like, the 50, and then, yeah, each team gets a chance. But, you know, I also, you can always count on the Ravens. They lost the game in overtime, so then they whined and they want to change the rules. You know, they think the coin toss is unfair. Well, I actually went and looked at how overtime went in this past year. There were 10 overtime games. The team that won the coin toss went 4-5-1. So there was no advantage to winning the coin toss. And one of those 10 games ended with a touchdown on the first possession. So 9 of the 10 games, both teams had a chance. So what are we even talking about here? The system is not broken. Why do we want to fix it? Again, you can always count on the Ravens for whining and wanting to change the rule, but I don't see any chance of either of these rules passing.
Well, I am happy, though. At least this is what separates the NFL and Major League Baseball, is that you have a league that doesn't need to change but is constantly thinking about ways to improve it, while you have baseball who can't even get pitchers to agree to throw the ball every 20 seconds.
Yeah, but, you know, this is also like every team's allowed to propose it. So, the Ravens propose this and the Bills propose that. But it's all about what do the owners think. And the owners, ultimately, they scrap. I mean, it took them forever to move the extra point back. And they wouldn't do Belichick's camera idea. And that's where he, you know, had the comment, well, let's hold a bake sale to have more cameras. I mean, the owners are very stodgy. And getting 24 of them to agree on anything is difficult. So, I see no chance that these overtime rules are going to change. And I don't even see why they need to. If the team that wins the coin toss goes 4-5-1 in overtime, that tells me the system is working. It's an even playing field.
We are getting more football this year, though, the 17th game. Quick thought on that. And I do want a name from you, who the Pats go after in free agency. Who's the big ticket item they're in on, if you have to pick one? That's next on the Ben Volen Show.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
More off-season football talk. Now, this is the Ben Volen Football Hour on EEI.
Trolling Volen here. We've got Mego and Fitzy coming up 1-4, and then the live VP show with Bradfo in Florida. He'll be joined by Steve Peralt, and they've got Tim Hyers, hitting coach, on. Quick update on Brandon Carlo. Bruce Cassidy, the Bruins coach, announcing he was released. Carlo was from the hospital this morning. He is now back at home.
Good news.
No update beyond that as of this time. And Tom Wilson's got a hearing coming.
So does that affect Wilson's suspension, you think?
Probably not, because there's no way to tell when Carlo will play, right? So we don't really know how severe the injury. I guess if he's at home, it's less severe. Maybe it could factor in. Question for you now about free agency. I want a name. Give me somebody. Who is the most likely free agent target and acquisition of the Patriots? On the biggest name on the board, they'll go after.
Well, the most likely is some guard you'd never heard of, or a defensive tackle. I was looking at, I mean, they need a receiver. They have to sign a receiver. And I think Juju Smith-Schuster is a definite possibility. I think he checks all the boxes. He's young. He's only like 24.
24.
Big physical receiver, yards after the catch, really good downfield blocker. And I don't think he's going to be the top guy off the board. I think, Godwin and Allen Robinson and Kenny Golladay, you know, and maybe one or two other receivers are going to be the top paid wide receivers in this market. So to me, it's Juju Smith-Schuster. I think again, I want the Patriots to sign free agents, but I want them to get younger guys, guys who still have are kind of on the upswing. And to me, Smith-Schuster is checks all the boxes. So I know he didn't have and he's coming off a bit of a down year. So, you know, advantage Patriots again. Maybe you can get him a little cheaper than you thought. You know, the other thing is one thing I've heard is that Isaiah Wynn might not be the left tackle next year. They might kick him inside to Joan Tooney's position. So I can see the Patriots being in the market for a left tackle.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's big money.
Yeah.
That's like a Trent Williams.
Possibly. I don't know if they're going to spend that kind of money on Trent Williams, but, you know,
is that more to do with his inability to stay on the field than it is that they need to improve after losing Tooney?
No. You're talking about Wynn?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. I mean, ultimately, he's a 6'3" tackle, and, you know, I know he's played well, but you can make your offensive line even better by kicking him inside and getting a better left tackle.
Bust of a pick, you would agree, 23?
To this point, yes, just because he hasn't been able to stay on the field, has not been an elite player. He's been good, you know, when healthy, but, yes, I would say kind of a bust of a pick right now. But
so
still,
why do people want Bill to be drafting in the first round? Shouldn't they be trading that for talent?
Yes and no. I mean, you can't ignore the draft forever. And Wynn isn't a bust like, you know, I would consider Sony Michel more of a bust than Isaiah Wynn. Wynn has at least been a productive player. It's not like Joan Williams, who's barely even saw the field, or Duke Dawson.
For a first-round pick, that's pretty close to a bust. I mean, he's missed how many games?
Yeah, but again, I mean, the guy tore his Achilles, so that's not like that's not a talent thing. And you know, 23, not all first-round picks are created equal. Okay, 23 is not
he's
a sure
awesome.
Thing.
He's going to put the Hall of Fame.
He's fine. He's fine. But I do think they could be signing a left tackle. I know your boy Villanueva is going to be a free agent. So we'll see. But, you know, Smith-Schuster, I think, would check a lot of boxes for the Patriots.
How about edge rusher? Because there's a bunch of good ones. Shaq Barrett's the top guy, but Ngakoue, Bud Dupree, Matt Judon, Leonard Floyd, Carl Lawson, Trey Hendrickson, Hassan Reddick. I mean, several late 20s age pass rushers promising, which you add to Winovich and Uche. One more guy in there would make a huge difference.
Only thing about that, though, is the Patriots have never gone for just the pass rusher. You know, the guy who's just like a third down, like Ngakoue.
Like a specialist, yeah.
Right, like that's what he does. He just, you know, pin your ears back and go get the quarterback. That's never who they've really targeted. They want three down players. They want guys who are, you know, forceful against the run and things like that.
All right, how about Leonard Williams?
Leonard Williams would be a home run. They absolutely should break the bank for Leonard Williams. That would be a phenomenal pick. They, you know, Adam Butler and Lawrence Guy are both free agents. I would love for them to bring one of those guys back and go get Leonard Williams. That would be a total home run. If you're going to spend $17 million on a free agent, that's the guy. Go get Leonard Williams. He would be fantastic. Of the other guys you mentioned, Judon would be interesting because Judon, I don't think, is just a straight pass rusher. His numbers were a little down, so he's not going to get that Von Miller type of money, I don't think.
I think he will.
You think he will?
Oh, yeah.
Well, then, if that's the case, I don't know if Belichick's going to pay that money. But Leonard Williams would be the guy, so that would be fantastic.
But they have a stack of cash, and they're ready to spend, according to Field Yates. So why would they?
They are going to spend, but, you know, the Patriots aren't going to spend stupidly. That's just not in their DNA. Now, they did spend big on Gilmore, and I think it worked out for all parties involved. So that's always been...
Is he back?
I say no. I say Gilmore is not back. They can save almost $9 million in the cap. He's going to want a new contract. I don't think they're going to want to pay a 31-year-old cornerback the big money. I don't think they're going to get a first-round pick for him because any team that trades for him is also probably going to have to give him a new contract. So I think you're probably looking at a second or third-round pick, which I would take because you lost your third-round pick in Spygate 2. If you can get a second or third-round pick for Gilmore, I would take that.
And the 17th game is a done deal, and it will be Dallas?
I think so. I mean, it's not a done deal, but I think it's pretty much a done deal. And yeah, by all accounts, the matchup this year is going to be AFC East and NFC East, and all the buzz is that the AFC will be hosting the game this year. Because you're going to 17 games, it's an unbalanced schedule. So, half the teams will have 9 home games, the other half will be 8. So the way the NFL wants to do it is by conference. So in one year, the entire AFC will get that 9th home game, and then the next year, the entire NFC will get the 9th home game, which to me makes, you know, that's the most sense and the most fair. And yeah, it sounds like Dallas will be coming here. So yeah, get ready for Dak Prescott versus Ryan Fitzpatrick, or maybe Dak versus Cam Newton. That'll be a big seller.
Obviously.
Minshew.
Hey, let me ask you Dak guys this question. Tampa Bay at New England. who's going to have more fans in the stands that day, the Bucs or the Patriots?
Oh, jeez.
It's going to be, everybody's going to be rooting for the Patriots and Tom Brady.
Well, the split jersey deals. You have half Bucs, half Pats.
A lot of pink jerseys, maybe.
If I'm the Patriots, I want that game as close to the beginning of the season as possible. Because if they're having a bad year, and call it, it's December, whenever, the second week of December, and the Patriots are out of the playoffs, and the Bucs are 11-2 at the time, that will be 80%.
Good point. Ben reports the knee injury. They're going to have to amputate soon Brady's knee. So
don't even
get him
say
early.
That. Why would you dare?
Ben has reported it's more serious than you think. So.
Yeah. I mean, borderline amputation for right now.
Okay.
Let's not spread any false rumors here.
Right. Thank you.
However, no, I definitely agree with that. Bucks at Patriots will probably have to be an early season game. It'll be interesting to see how Fox handles it. You would think that's a clear primetime 4:25 afternoon game. Everyone in the country wants to see Brady playing, back in New England. But obviously, I don't think the Krafts and Belichick want a big deal to be made out of that game. So will Fox?
What are you kidding?
Acquiesce?
Bob Kraft said he's rooting for Tom. He loves
him. Be curious if they make it, try to hide it in the 1 o'clock window, or if they play it up. I can guarantee. I would bet you good money that the Krafts and Belichick hope it's just a, 1 o'clock Sunday game that gets lost in the shuffle, but I would think the networks would be frothing at the mouth to make that a national primetime game.
Ben Volen football notes coming soon?
They're out. They're all online right now. All we're right. Looking at salary cap cuts around the league. There's going to be a lot of them.
Pete Abe's a bit more red right now at Boston.com than Ben Volen.
Boy,
well, we just got the football notes up, so we'll do our best.
TK Hernandez's future in doubt. Wow, that's a good story.
But, yeah, so we're going to look at the salary cap cuts a lot across the league. And I think it's probably good for the Patriots and most teams to be a little prudent and a little patient right now, because a lot of good players are going to be coming available. And there's going to be a lot of one-year contracts in free agency just because of the salary cap situation this year. And guys, not seeing the long-term money they want. So there's just going to be a lot of, kind of bridge deals this year. So it's going to be a lot of intriguing free agents on the market.
Good job. Had fun. We'll do it again next week. Maybe earlier. I think we're on earlier next week with Ben. Maybe 11 a.m. We'll get back to you on that based on NCAA tournament stuff. Fitzy and Mego together next for the first time in studio at the same time. Fitzy's back from Florida.
Yep.
Beautiful. 1-4. And then Bradfoe and Peralt coming up 4-6. Courtesy of Monday.
See you.